Last Sunday, we met a man in the book of Luke named Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. We discovered that he prophesied a word from God, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, it was when John was born and they were naming him that finally Zacharias was able to speak. He hadn't been able to speak for 9 months at least. That is, ever since that the angel came and announced that he and his wife, who were barren and up in age, were going to have a son, and he would be the forerunner of the Christ, the Messiah. And Zacharias doubted whether or not that could happen, and he had good reason to doubt. And considering the condition that they were in and the age at which they were. But when you get to operating by revelation instead of reason, then you can believe God. Instead of believing God, the revelation of God, he operated out of reason. He doubted what God said, and as a result of that, the angel announced that he wouldn't be talking for a little while, and he didn't. He couldn't talk for a number of months, that is, however long it took for his wife to conceive, and then finally for John to be born, at least 9 months. And after John was born, he was named, and they were going to name him Zacharias, and Zacharias waved them off and said no, and he wrote down, he says his name is John. The reason why is because that's the name that the angel of the Lord said that John was to be named. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like by now that that Zacharias has learned his lesson. And that is, when God says something, that's the way it is, amen. And if his name is John, then his name is John. And about that time, his tongue came untied, and they'd been all tied up. His heart had been filling up with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he began to speak, and he spoke these words of prophecy that are recorded for us, divinely inspired words that are still preserved for us in Luke chapter number 1. And when you and I got down and we looked at the end of that prophecy, and by the way, the entire prophecy is well worth you reading and studying. But when you get down to the end of it, that is in verse number 79, he tells us there that the reason why that John the Baptist was born into the world was to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And he tells us there that the Messiah himself is going to be the one who's going to bring light to those that sit in darkness. And in verse 79, in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. That is, the Messiah, the Christ, will come and give light to those who are in darkness, life to those that are under the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. It's that way of peace that was announced by Zacharias that you and I have been focusing our attention on, trying to find out why it is that he said such words. The reality is that on the night that Jesus was born, that it was announced to the shepherds that Jesus was born in, that the Messiah was born into the world, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. And now the announcement is that on earth there is peace and goodwill towards men. We discovered in the book of Romans in chapter number 3 and verse number 17 that the reason why that we need somebody to guide our feet into the way of peace is because the Bible says there that the way of peace have they not known. That is, sinful, fallen humanity is not on the way of peace. We are not on the way of peace naturally in our natural condition. And in our fallen condition, we are not on the way of peace. The Bible says in that same chapter, in those same section, that our feet are walking in the ways of misery and destruction. That's the way that we're walking. That is, that's the direction that we are going. And we are not in the way of peace. And so we've been trying to find out if it's true then, and we know that it must be, and that is, if the Lord Jesus came into the world for those of us who are not in the way of peace, to guide our feet into the way of peace, then what is that way? That is, what is the way of peace? That is, how can I enter into that way? If you think of this way, the word way being used there to describe a road or a path, if you was to think of this as a highway or a freeway, you would discover that there's only one on-ramp. There's only one way to get on the way of peace. There's only one way off of the way of destruction and misery and onto the way of peace. And his name is Jesus. And you and I have been discovering how it is that Jesus takes us from the way of misery, from the way of destruction, and places us onto the way of peace. And we've been discovering that he does it by means of justification. We discovered in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, He brings us from the way of misery to the way of peace by means of justification. We spent a little bit of time looking at Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, and surrounding verses to discover what it means to be justified or to be declared righteous in the sight of God. Justification has to do with righteousness. And that is that the reason why we're not on the way of peace is because we're sinners and that we need to be forgiven and made right with God. If we're going to have peace, then we must enter into a right relationship with God. And that righteousness, ladies and gentlemen, is not a righteousness that we can earn. It's not a righteousness that we deserve. It is a righteousness that is given to us, imputed to us, counted to us freely through the meritorious work of Christ on the cross, where He died for us and paid the price for our sin and was raised the third day. God declaring us righteous as a free gift. You'll never be at peace with God until you enter into that relationship that is justification, that is in a right relationship with God. So justification has to do with righteousness. This is the second thing that we discovered about the way in onto the way of peace. It not only involves justification, but it involves reconciliation. What the Bible tells us in Colossians 1, in the last couple of messages I preached, the Bible tells us there that God has made peace and He's done it through the blood of the cross to reconcile all things to Himself, including you and I, that we can be reconciled to God. If the word justification has to do with righteousness, the word reconciliation has to do with relationship. And that is that you and I were one time out of relationship with God. We were enemies of God, separated from God, estranged from God, alienated from God. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1, and that God sent His Son into the world. He died in our place for our sins on the cross. So that, ladies and gentlemen, those of us who are out of relationship with God could be brought into relationship with Him. Those who are His enemies could be accepted by Him. Those who are separated from Him can now be His chosen people, God's people, His chosen ones, that is a holy nation set apart to Him. I'm talking about reconciliation. That is, if you want to experience the peace that Zacharias prophesied about, then ladies and gentlemen, you have to be justified and you have to be reconciled. Now that's what God does when He saves a sinner. You may not have known that's what God did when He saved you, but when God saved you, if you're saved, that means that God justified you at the moment of conversion. He declared you righteous by a free gift. That is the righteousness of Christ given to you. And that is, He reconciled you to Himself so that now those who are not His people are now His people. Those who are separated from Him are now accepted by Him as His own children. God, when He saved you, justified you, and He reconciled you. And I want you to think with me a little bit this morning about the fact that He also regenerated you. He regenerated you. Now that word regeneration is kind of a big word, but nevertheless it is a biblical word. It's the very word that is used in Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5. That is a word that describes what happened whenever God saved a sinner. Listen to how this word is used in Titus 3:5. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, the Bible says, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us here that when God saved us, according to His mercy, that what He did was He regenerated us. And the idea seems to be the word regenerated means to be reborn. You see, when you're dealing with the idea of justification, you're talking about righteousness. And when you deal with the word reconciliation, you're talking about relationship. And when you deal with the word regeneration, you're dealing with being reborn. Being born a second time. The Bible tells us here that when God saved us, that He regenerated us or He made us alive again. That is, we were born a second time. That is, He describes it here as a washing, that when God saved us by His mercy, He regenerated us, and in so doing, God washed us, or He cleansed us, and the Bible also writes here about the renewing of the Holy Ghost. When God saved you, He regenerated you, made you alive, and He did it by the power, that is, by the person of the Holy Spirit, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, and that is, you were made new, that is, you were born again, ladies and gentlemen, because of the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to think about this regeneration for just a moment. And the reason why is because, ladies and gentlemen, the only way towards peace is regeneration. That is to be made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me read you this verse and then I'm going to expound on it, upon this idea. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse number 6, to be carnally minded is death. Those who are carnally minded, the idea of carnally minded is the natural mind. That is the mind, the whole inner man that you are born with. Not just the mind you think with, but the whole inner man that you are born with, ladies and gentlemen, is destined for death. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that is, you're one of two, carnally minded or spiritually minded. The unsaved are carnally minded, and that is that we operate out of our natural man. But those who've been born again have the Holy Spirit now living on the inside of them. They are spiritually minded. They've been made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit now living on the inside of them. They are the ones who are spiritually minded in Romans chapter number 8. And the Bible tells us here that for them, that is for those who are in their natural state, death is your destiny. But for those who are spiritually minded, to be born again, who have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, it is life. They have eternal life. It's not death. It is life. And as a result, there's peace. The way of peace, ladies and gentlemen, is by means of regeneration, being made new, born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us here. And that's the way to peace, the way from out of death and into life. Those who are in their natural state and destined for death are on the way, what the Bible describes in Romans 3, on the way of misery and destruction. But those who've been born again have, ladies and gentlemen, entered into a new way. And that is, they have been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're on the way of life and on the way of peace. Those who haven't been born again are not on the way of peace, but those who have been are on that way. Now, we need to think about this regeneration, and the reason why is because regeneration has to do with receiving the life of the Holy Spirit, the life of God. And that is, if you've never been born again, you don't have the life of the Spirit living on the inside of you. You're not spiritually minded, as Romans 8, 6 talks about. His life is not living on the inside of you. Now let me explain what I mean and turn over to Ephesians 2 and you'll see this explained by Paul in more detail. He explains regeneration to us when he writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter number 2. And when you look at this, you'll see, first of all, the condition that we were in. And that is, prior to our conversion, the Bible tells us here about the condition that we were in. Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened or made alive. That is, those who have been made alive are those who were once dead, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And listen, those before our conversion, before we were quickened, the Bible says in verse number 2, wherein in times past, before the Lord saved you, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Paul explains to us here why it was necessary for you and I to be born again or to receive the life of the Holy Spirit. He describes the condition that every person is in prior to being born again. Now, there's not an exception to this. And that is that everyone who's listening to this message who is not in Christ, that is, who's never been born of the Spirit, never been regenerated, this is you. That is, you might look upon yourself to be something that you are not and be terribly deceived about who you are. But the Bible describes to us the condition of the unregenerated. That is, those who've never been born of the Spirit. The Bible describes our condition as those who are dead in sin. That's what he said in verse number 1. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened, who were, that is, before you were quickened, you were dead. Before you were made alive, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, this death that he's talking about, obviously, not only means physical death, but it's particularly referring to spiritual death as well. And that is, you and I, prior to being born again, are spiritually dead. That is, we're dead towards God. Remember now, when God made you, he gave you a body. And that body that you have, that body that you're living in, ladies and gentlemen, allows you to function on this planet. That is, to function in this life and in this atmosphere and on this planet and in this world that God created. But God didn't just make you a body, God made you a living soul. That is, God created you with a life that is able to function on this planet in relationship to what God has created, in relationship to one another. God made you a living soul. But God not only created you with a body and a soul, but God created you with a spirit. And that's that aspect of humanity that we use to describe that aspect of humanity where we can know God and walk with God and fellowship with God. God didn't just create us so that we can live on this planet. God didn't just create us so that you and I can be in relationship one with another, but God created us so that we can have a relationship with Him. That is, that's why He gave us what we call the Spirit. That aspect of humanity where we can know God and walk with God and fellowship with God and experience God. But when you and I were born into this world, we had physical life and we had soulless life, but we did not have spiritual life. While our body was alive so that we could live on this planet, our soul was alive so that we could be in relationship with one another, even so, our spirit was dead. We was not born into this world knowing God and fellowshipping with God and experiencing God. We were spiritually dead. And that is because of our sin. The Bible says that we're dead in trespasses and sins. The reason why that we're spiritually dead is because of our sin. Remember what God told Adam? And that is, if you eat from that tree, then surely death is going to come upon you. And ladies and gentlemen, He wasn't not only talking about physical death, that Adam died 900 years later, but He was talking, ladies and gentlemen, about spiritual death. And that is, that he was cut off from God, as is evidenced in the garden when Adam hid himself from God behind those trees. That is, there's something wrong in our relationship with God. And there is. And everybody born into the Adamic race, that is, every human being, and that is everyone that I'm looking at in this room, and many who are listening to this message, and that is that you are the descendant of Adam, and therefore you are a fallen, sinful creature, having inherited his sinful nature, and having chose to sin yourself. And for that reason, we're spiritually dead. That is, we're cut off from God. And we don't know Him, but we don't have a relationship with Him. For that reason, we need to have a second birth. And that is just like it's your first birth. That is, you entered into this world, and that is life came into this world when you were born. You need to receive a different kind of life. A different kind of life. Not just physical life or soulless life that you were born with at your first birth, but there's another kind of life that you need to have. It is eternal life. It's God's life living on the inside of you. It is your spirit made alive so that you can know God, so that you can fellowship with God, so that you can experience God. That is, that part of you that was dead when you were born can be made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what God does when He saves a sinner. I want you to understand this once again, as you've heard many times, and that is that salvation is not merely walking down the aisle. Salvation is not just repeating a prayer that somebody tells you to repeat. Hey, salvation is not just getting baptized, joining a church, following the rules of a religious system. But I want to tell you, when God saves somebody, He brings him to the point of brokenness as a sinner and to the point of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that moment, something happens on the inside of you, in your being, far deeper than your emotions, and that is that God quickens you and makes you alive on the inside by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you have Him living on the inside of you. You have eternal life, and your spirit that was dead is now alive, so that you know God and have a relationship with Him. That's what the new birth is about. You got a brand new life. It's His life living on the inside of you. I'm talking to you about the condition that we're in. That is, we're dead in sin. But not only are we in our natural state dead in sin, but we walk in sin as well. And that's what He describes here in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verses 2 and 3. He talks about our walk. That is, He says, wherein in times past you walked. That is, before your conversion, this is how you walk. Now listen, when you're talking about your walk, you're talking about the path that you're walking. That is, you're talking about the way that you're on, aren't we? You see, you and I are talking about the way of peace, but I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the way that's being described here, the walk that's being described here, is not a walk in the way of peace. It is a walk in the way, ladies and gentlemen, of depravity and destruction and death. Notice the walk that we're on prior to our conversion, prior to being born again. But the Bible says here that you and I are on the pathway, or we're walking the ways of the world. In verse number 2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. That's the way that you were walking. That's the direction that you were going. That's the path that you were on. That's the course that you were taking. And that is, you were walking according to the course of this world. You were just living a life that is in conformity to humanity. That is the world that you and I live in. And in other words, you were just living a life that was like the way your mama lived and like the way your daddy lived and like the way your coaches and your teachers at school framed you and taught you to be. The reason why you have the values that you have, the reason why that you're living the way you are is because you were molded by the world in which you were born. You're just walking the course of the world. A world that has fallen. A world that's in rebellion against God. A world, ladies and gentlemen, that is demonstrating the depravity of humanity, and you are fitting right in to the ways of the world. That's the way you were on. No, not on the way of peace. No, you were walking in the ways of the world, just practicing sin like everybody else. The reason why you were doing the things that you were doing and saying the things that you were saying is because of the influence of the world in your life. You were just doing what the world influenced you to do, the world system designed by the enemy himself, impacting you. You were walking in the ways of the world. You not only were walking in the ways of the world, but you were walking in the ways of the devil. Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Notice now, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now that little phrase, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You listen, the prince of the power of the air is a phrase that describes the devil. And that is the one that is the enemy, the devil, Satan, and his influence on this world system. That is that he has designed a world system, ladies and gentlemen, that is against God. And a world system that reveals the depravity and the darkness of sin. And ladies and gentlemen, all of humanity fits into that world system. We are part of that world system. And you were born into that world system. And so as you're walking in the ways of the world, you're walking in the ways of the devil. We'll say that again. Those who are walking in the ways of the world are walking in the ways of the devil, the prince of the power of the air, who has designed this world system that you and I were a part of before we got saved. That's the way we were on. The ways of the world, and we were walking the ways of the devil, and it was the ways of the flesh. Well, the Bible says in verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of life in times past in the lust of our flesh. That is fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. In other words, before you got saved, before God regenerates somebody, the way that they're on is not only the way of the world. It's not only the way of the devil, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, the same spirit of the enemy, the devil, is working in the lives of those who are fallen creatures, but also it is the way of the flesh. And that is that our life revolved around fulfilling the desires of our flesh. When I'm talking about our flesh, I'm talking about our fallen nature. Our sinful, fallen nature. Ladies and gentlemen, the one we were born with. I'm talking about our self-centered, selfish nature. We just lived according to the self-centered nature, the fallen nature that you and I were born with. You say, well, Pastor, not me. I'll guarantee if I could talk to your mama, she'd tell some stories about you when you were just a little tot. I could tell some stories about my kids, and I can tell some stories about my little grandkids that I love so very much. But I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they're defiant. They're rebellious. There's something wrong with them. And the reason why is because when I tell them to do something, they don't always do it. When their mama tells them to do something, they don't always do it. And you know the reason why? Because something's wrong on the inside of them, and I know what it is, don't you? It is that selfish sin nature on the inside of them. Listen, I got a little granddaughter that's just cute as a button. I love her to death, but I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, she's as jealous of her sister as she can be. She can't even talk yet, but she's jealous. You know the reason why is because her sister might get something that she doesn't have. You say, what's wrong? I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's just kind of the way, that's the way kids are. That's just sibling rivalry. It sure is, isn't it? It's just typical of all humanity. And that is that we're selfish and jealous. There's something wrong with us. You know what it is? It is our fallen nature. It is our flesh. You know what I found out? I found out it's not just my grandkids that are that way. Their grandpa is too. And you know what I found out? It's not just my grandkids and their grandpa. You know what I'm figuring out? The more I get to know all of you, you're the same way. You struggle with the same stuff. You know the reason why? The reason why is because we're sinners, we're fallen creatures. And that is our life before we got saved was just revolving around the lust of our flesh, the desires of our fallen nature. All right, that is revolved around fulfilling fulfilling the desires of our flesh. A whole life revolves around it. Listen, humanity is revolving around fulfilling the desires of their own flesh, that is, of their own fallen nature. And that's the way that humanity lives. That's the path that we're on. That's the way we're on. That's not the way of peace. That is the way. Listen, the enemy lies to us and tells us that if we can just fulfill the desires of our flesh, we'll be happy. That is, if you can just do what it is that your old self-centered, selfish nature wants to do. If you can just get enough money to do what it is you want to do and go where you want to go and have what you want to have, then you'll be happy. But our world, ladies and gentlemen, that is those who have achieved that in their lives, those who have achieved the very best there is in life, are a testimony to us that it doesn't bring peace. It doesn't. Materialism doesn't bring peace. Wealth doesn't bring peace. Family doesn't bring peace. You say, family doesn't bring peace. Look at the mess the family is in this nation. There's only one way of peace, ladies and gentlemen. Only one. There's only one way onto the way of peace. And that is, we need a brand new life. We're dead in our sin. That is, our spirit is dead towards God. We don't know Him. We don't have His life. And as a result, we live a life of debauchery and depravity. We walk in sin. That is the way of the world, the way of the devil, and the way of the flesh, and it is the way of wrath. The Bible says here in verse number 3 that we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That is, we are under the wrath of God. It is the way of wrath, under the judgment of God, under the condemnation of God. All of humanity under the wrath of God. You say, Pastor, surely not me. Every person born into this world under the wrath of God because of our sin. We're dead in sin and we walk in sin. And that walk is the pathway or the way of divine wrath. So we see here the condition that we're in. That's what we are in our natural condition as humanity. But listen, the Bible also talks here about the conversion that we've experienced. In verse number 4, the whole scene shifts in Ephesians chapter number 2 with the words, but God. And that is that you and I as fallen sinful creatures, dead in our spirit. That is, God intervened. That is, those of us who are walking in the way of misery and destruction, the way of the world, the way of the devil, the way of the flesh, the way of wrath. All of a sudden, God stepped in. The God who the Bible says here is rich in mercy. The God, the Bible says here about His great love wherewith we loved us. That God stepped in. God is rich in mercy and God who is great in His love. God stepped in. And the Bible says in verse number 5, here's what He did. Even when we were dead in sins, He has quickened us together, made us alive, the Bible says, in Christ or with Christ. For by grace are you saved. In other words, God stepped into your life one day. And that is, here you are dead in sin. Here you are living in depravity, walking in the ways of the world, walking in the ways of the devil, walking in the ways of the flesh, walking in the way of wrath. And God stepped in one day and God did a work on the inside of you. That is, God made you alive. He quickened you and made you alive. That is, you were born again. You were born of the Spirit. And when God saved you, at that moment that God saved you by grace, the Bible says there that we're saved by grace. That is, when God in His grace saved you, you are made alive. With a new kind of life that you didn't have before. You were born again. That is, you received the life of God. When God saved you, you received the life of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, made alive by His power. God did that on the inside of you. Now, the Lord Jesus explained that, and John records for us what the Lord said. And that is the revelation about this new birth. John writes a lot about being born again, about being born a second time. As a matter of fact, he sets that theme in chapter number 1 of John's gospel. Listen to what it is that he wrote in John chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 11, verse number 12, the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power, the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That is, those who receive Him are those who believe on Him. Remember now, receiving is believing, and believing is receiving. But those who have received Him by faith, by believing, the Bible says here that they were born, in verse number 13, that is, they become the sons of God by means of birth. They were born, but not of blood, That is, they were not born again because of the fact of their of who they are. That is, because of their race or because of their parents. It's not because they're children of Abraham, as they would be dealing with in that day. It's not of blood. That is, the Bible says here, it's not of the will of the flesh. That is, it's not something that you do in your own humanity. In other words, you weren't born again because of the fact that your mom and dad were born again, your grandpa and grandma, or because of who you descended from. You're not born again because of your own efforts, by the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. No, no, no. This birth, the Bible says in verse 13, is of God. Those who have received Him by faith, who have believed on Him, the Bible says that they've been born of God. Now, this idea of being born of God is the idea of being born again, because you were born a first time, so this is talking about a second birth. It's talking about regeneration. In chapter number 3, the Lord explained this even further when He met a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of those guys who thought he'd be a part of the kingdom because of blood, because he was a descendant of Abraham. This guy is a Jew, that is a Pharisee, that is, he is a man, ladies and gentlemen, that would have believed that he's a part of the kingdom of God because of blood, because of the will of the flesh, or because of the will of man. But Jesus explains to him, as he came to him to find out more about Jesus, he said, "We know that you're a teacher, come from God. No man can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him." And so the Lord jumped right into it. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The only way into the kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, is the new birth. No other way. Now you say, what kingdom are you talking about? Well, Paul identified it in Romans 14, 17. He said, "The kingdom of God is not about meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost." That is, those who are in the kingdom are those who have been made right in the sight of God, who receive the Holy Spirit, and thereby have peace with God. Those in the kingdom, by the very definition of being in the kingdom, are those who have been made right with God or in a relationship of peace with Him. And the only way in, Jesus said, the only way is by being born again. Nicodemus, you got to be born a second time. Your first birth is not enough. The fact that you were born of the descendant of Abraham is not enough. You got to be born a second time. So Nicodemus, probably getting a little bit sarcastic about this time of the conversation, Nicodemus said, "Well, I mean, how am I going to be born? How can a man be born when he is old? You want me to enter back in my mother's womb? I mean, is that what you're saying? I mean, get real." It's kind of like that. Just get real. What do you mean, be born a second time? "Sure, I'm going to enter back in my mother's womb. Grown man and be born a second time." So the Bible says that Jesus explained to me, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water." There's the first birth, the physical birth, and of the Spirit. That's the second birth. It is a birth produced and done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Unless he's born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is, you can't be a part of the kingdom unless you've experienced not a first birth. Now, I'm not talking about going back into your mother's womb and be born of water again. What I'm talking about, not a physical birth, I'm talking about a spiritual birth. Being born of the Spirit. Jesus explained clearly that's what he meant in the next verse when he said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That's the water birth, the physical birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's talking about a spiritual birth. The second birth is a spiritual birth and not a physical birth. He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Don't marvel at this. That is, you shouldn't be surprised at this. That is, this guy Nicodemus should have already known this. And that is that the Old Testament prophets prophesied about the time when there would be a covenant that would be made in which God said that I'll give them a new heart and I'll put my Spirit on the inside of them. It was prophesied about. They shouldn't have been surprised about this teaching of our Lord about being born of the Spirit, to be born again. But nevertheless, Nicodemus was blinded because he had been walking in the ways of the world. He had been walking in the ways of the flesh and of the devil and the way of wrath, and his mind was blinded to the reality of the truth. But the Lord said, "Listen, it's kind of like this." He said, "It's like the wind that blows." This birth is like the blowing of the wind. The wind blows where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it's coming from and where it's going. In other words, the new birth, ladies and gentlemen, is an invisible birth, like the blowing of the wind. You can't see the wind, and even so, you cannot see the new birth. It's not something that is visible, but it is a work of God, an invisible work of God. Now, it has visible results, but it is an invisible work of God. On the inside, in an invisible area of our life, in our spirit that's not visible to the human eye. The Holy Spirit is not visible to the human eye. There's a work that takes place on the inside of us at the moment of our conversion, where God does a miracle on the inside of us, invisible to the eye, that results in new life. The results, ladies and gentlemen, in a brand new creature in Christ that is being born again. Nicodemus couldn't figure it out. He said, how can these things be? I don't understand what you're talking about. And Jesus said, are you a teacher, master in Israel? You don't know these things? That is, you claim to be a leader among the Israelites, access to the Old Testament scriptures, and you don't know this? He said, listen, you need to listen to what I'm telling you, that is, I'm the one who ascended up and ascended down, and that is, you need to listen to what I'm saying. He said, it's like this. It's like when Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. Remember that story? It's like when Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, that is, as the Israelites are being bitten by serpents and dying, He had to make that brazen serpent and put it on that pole in the book of Numbers. And they had to look at that serpent and live. Even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Like that serpent was lifted up on that pole, the Son of Man is also going to be lifted up, looking forward to the cross and His death for our sins on the cross, so that whoever believes in Him, whoever believes on Him, that is, will have eternal life. That is, just like the Israelites looked at that serpent and were able to live, those who by faith believe and trust in what Christ did on the cross for them, they also are the ones who will receive eternal life. He said, for God so loved the world. Nicodemus, listen to me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's what He's talking about, the new birth. The moment that God brings a sinner broken over their sin to the point of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in His death and resurrection alone. It's at that moment, ladies and gentlemen, that the new birth takes place, that we are quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit and we receive divine life. As Jesus said in John 5:24, we pass from death to life. By the way, John's not done with this, and that is, he never got over the teaching of the new birth. When he got to writing in the book of 1 John, he got to writing about it again many years later. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 29, listen to what he wrote. He said, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. I'm talking about the new birth. The new birth results, ladies and gentlemen, in a brand new direction in life. That is a direction of righteousness. Listen to what he writes in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. The reason why, he says, is for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. The Bible tells us here, those who've been born again, they got a brand new direction in life, and the direction that we're going in is not the way of sin. Now, that's the way we were walking, Ephesians 2. The way that we were on was the way of depravity and sin. But when you get born again, God turns you around, and you're walking a whole new way now. That is, it's not the way of sin anymore, but it's the way of righteousness. In 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. Born of God and knoweth God. In other words, those who have been born again, I'm going to tell you that when you're born again, all of a sudden, you not only have a brand new life, but you got a brand new love. Now you got the love of God living on the inside of you, and you love God and you love God's people. It's not a human love. It's not a love you had before your conversion, but it's one that you have now. That's what John is writing about here. He's talking about the brand new life that you and I have received in Christ. 1 John 5:1, he said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. That is, those who believed on him, they are the ones who've been born again. And they are the ones in whom the love of God is a living reality. In that same chapter, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Those who've been, listen, prior to our conversion, we were walking in the ways of the world. But John tells us once you get born again, you start overcoming the world. That's what he tells us in this verse. In 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 18, he writes, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. The Bible tells us there that those who've been born again, they're on a brand new path. That is, the world that they were on before they got saved was the way of the devil. But now the Bible says now the enemy cannot even touch them. They're in a brand new way. Something happened when God saved you. You say, what was it? I mean, what, you were born again. Brand new life. Your spirit that was dead is now made alive. Now listen to me. That's why the Lord came into the world. That's the reason why we have the story of Bethlehem. That's why he came. Jesus said it in John's gospel. Listen to what he said in John chapter number 10 and verse number 10. John 10 and verse number 10. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. But I am come, Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. Listen to what John wrote in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's why he came into the world. And so those of us that are dead in sin could be born again through faith in him. So we could go from death to life. Now listen, this life that I'm talking about, eternal life, the life of God, that becomes a reality on the inside of you and changes the course of your life when you get saved, this eternal life is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Jesus met in John 4, Jesus met a woman by the Jacob's well one day. She was there to get some water. Jesus asked her to get him some water. She was shocked that he, being a Jew, would ask her, a Samaritan, for a drink of water. And Jesus said this, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that was speaking to you, you'd be asking me for a drink of water, living water, and you'd never thirst again. You know what he's talking about? He wasn't talking water. He's talking life. Everlasting life. He said it's a gift. It's the gift of God. Well, the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now listen to me. The greatest gift you'll ever receive, ever will receive, ever have received, ever could receive, is the wonderful gift of God. It's the gift of eternal life. You say, well, Pastor, when I die, I guess I'll get it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about receiving eternal life at the moment of the new birth. If you've never been born again, you don't have eternal life. I'll say it again. If you have never been born of God, born again, you do not have eternal life. And you will not have eternal life when you die. The only ones, according to John's writings, that have eternal life, the only ones, are those who have been born again, regenerated, the moment of conversion, by the power of the Holy Spirit. They are the ones who are on the way of peace. To be carnally minded, ladies and gentlemen, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life, everlasting life, and peace. Let me ask you this question. Has there been a time in your life? If there has been, you'll know it. Has there been a time in your life when you were born again? When God brought you as a sinner to the end of yourself and to the point of trusting in Christ, death and resurrection alone. And that very moment, God saved you, justified you, reconciled you, regenerated you. That is, you were born again. Has ever happened in your life? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. And God, for what you're saying to us and how you're working in us. Father, I pray that you would operate upon the hearts of those who've never been born again, that you'd open their eyes and let them see the condition, Father, of their soul. Let him see what Christ did on that cross when he died for us, paid the price. Father, that you'll draw those persons to yourself, that you would save them by your grace. God, that you would rescue them, Father, today. Lord, do that work that only you can do for your glory. God, thank you for your mercy to us, for sending your Son, letting him go to that cross, die for our sins, raise the third day, so that those of us, Father, who are lost and without you, living a life of depravity, could be born of the Spirit. God, thank you for your goodness to us. Would you bless this moment that we have? Would you help those who are lost, God? They can't help themselves without any strength. Would you help them today? In Jesus' name we pray.